Welcome to Climate Champions, and thank you, James Henry Bedell, for the Climate Champion podcast jingle. I'm Lee Krivat, and every Monday I publish a new episode with a new climate champion as my guest. We talk about why they became motivated to act on climate change, what they are doing to help, and their vision for the future. If you or someone you know is a climate champion, please let me know at www.krivatenergyinnovations.com. For episode 21, my guest is Brian D'Agostino, Director of Fire Science and Climate Adaptation at SDG&E, that's San Diego Gas and Electric. By his title, you might think that Brian's background is in firefighting, but he's actually a meteorologist and has wanted to be a weather person since he was a little kid in Boston. He is the first person at SDG&E to have climate adaptation in his title, and frankly, maybe the first at any utility.
Whoa, wait a minute! Climate adaptation is very important. You know how you're driving down the road and you see a sign that says this piece of road has been adapted by an organization like Moms Demand Action? And that piece of road is the cleanest piece of road, because when you adapt a road, you take care of it. I firmly believe we must adapt climate. We must do climate adaptation. Put a big sign up saying this piece of climate has been adapted by us, and then we clean it and we make it the best climate of all the climates we can have.
Wow, the best climate of all the climates we can have. That's a beautiful sentiment, Blooper. Blooper is a puppet from the puppet troupe Charactiers. He's working on a new YouTube channel, but says that until it launches, go ahead and check out Moms Demand Action, a group his mother volunteers for. Find a chapter near you. Climate adaptation is an effort to mitigate the impacts of climate change. Scientific-based forecasts and a growing number of catastrophic events demonstrate that changes to the Earth's climate are already underway and growing in frequency. While billions of dollars are being spent to stop climate change from reaching certain thresholds, an increasing number of devastating events are already upon us and escalating. This requires additional strategies of adapting to the changes we are already seeing and the escalating weather events of tomorrow. If you have an alternative, entertaining definition of climate adaptation, please visit my Twitter account at Lee Krivat and retweet the tweet for this episode, episode 21, with Brian D'Agostino, and retweet your definition using the hashtag LearnAterm. If you make me laugh, I'll include it in the next Climate Champions episode, number 22, with guest Jigar Shah. That's at Lee Krivat. Retweet episode 21, hashtag LearnAterm, and make me laugh. Last week's LearnAterm, NYREV, or New York Rev, was retweeted by Matthew Tai. New York Rev is a red-green power system in Russia. Ivan Drago is in a big hamster wheel in the heart of a turbine, and he must run his little steroid pumped heart out, clean powering the country with near revolutions of the turbine. But thing my mom has said argues that that is net right, and that New York Rev is the energy you feel when you come out of the subway at Union Square in New York City. That energy can be harnessed and used instead of harmful fuels that increase carbon in our atmosphere. Now, as for me, I thought New York Rev meant reversing climate change in New York. Either that, or support for EVs by not allowing revving, which would improve the noise issue they have, climate change, and pollution. Major fires in the San Diego region in 2003 and 2007 were the catalyst of a decade of hard, devoted work by SDG&E and the San Diego community. Consistent collaboration and commitment has made San Diego a center of excellence for fire science and climate adaptation. Welcome to Climate Champions. I'm here talking to Brian D'Agostino. He's Director of Fire Science and Climate Adaptation at San Diego Gas and Electric. where I used to work. Good old SDG&E.
Welcome back.
All right. So can you talk about, with regard to climate change, a memorable moment or moments that made you feel like you had to do something about it?
Well, it's interesting because my role here at SDG&E has always been about situational awareness and understanding fire weather better. So I would say it was probably 2 or 3 years into this journey. We had now built a very extensive weather network. We've been doing modeling. We were working with the universities. And then it kind of came in where this light bulb went off. And I was saying, we're actually adapting to climate change right now. And all of these things that we're doing are actually to start to minimize the impact that all of this is having on the community.
So you were doing weather stuff. You were a weather person, which we'll let you talk about later.
Yes. Yeah, we'll get into that.
Yeah, and you were doing it really with fire in mind. And then it clicked afterwards that this is important climate work.
Exactly. Where we came into it to try to understand what was happening tomorrow and over the next few days so that we could operate the electric system safely. And then it realized, as part of climate change, we need to be taking a different approach at how we operate the electric system. So I'd say that was this big aha moment, because it was more than just understanding the climate. We were changing all these other things like operational procedures and how we do community outreach. So it was this real aha moment that it was so much more than just global warming or an increase in wildfire activity. It was reaching into so many other areas.
It's really the other side of the coin that you're on. You're not trying to prevent climate change from happening, because it is. You're trying to figure out, given that it's happening, how do I stop the impact?
Exactly. And what we've seen is some of the impacts haven't been what you expected. I mean, you look at the staff here in emergency management, and you know, they're working 12-hour days every day trying to deal with this increase in wildfire activity. And you start to see the tolls that it takes outside of, you know, day-to-day operations, but just how much labor and effort so many people are putting into it and the toll that that takes. It was very interesting.
When the first fire happened in San Diego that I experienced, I think it was 2003, I was part of the Emergency Operations Center here in this building that we're in right now. And I drove toward the building, but there was traffic driving away from the building, like up the freeway. My way, there was not a single car, and there was white ash falling on my car, and I had this aha moment myself. It's a very different job now. I'm in a job. I used to be in the computer industry, but now I'm in a job where I need to be part of the solution as opposed to the person running away.
Well, yeah, when we look at climate here, it's that ability to anticipate, prepare, react, and recover. You know, and I think that recovery piece is that we're what we're talking about. You know, we really like to be ahead of this. And if we can see these impacts coming, then we can mitigate the impact. But at the same time, like you said, our ability to react and recover from these extreme weather events that are associated with climate change, a huge part of our mission here.
Do you feel that some of the work you've done at SDG&E has prevented a fire from happening, or more than that?
Yes.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
One of the first moments that I really felt like our work was starting to prevent fires is we saw a major event coming in 2013, and we were working with our team to strategically stage resources all across San Diego to try to mitigate the risk. And one of them was a contract firefighting resources that was set to protect one of our substations. And it turned out it was the middle of the night, about 2 in the morning. And that crew ended up spotting some flames in the distance. And they had 500 gallons in a truck with them. And they deployed to that instantly, called in the fire agencies, and they were able to suppress that event. When we saw all that unfold in the middle of the night in a big Santa Ana, and we realized had they not been there, this could have been a very different story for San Diego County. That was when we started to feel like this is really starting to make a difference. And this could have been a very different scenario for our community had these people not been in the right place at the right time. We felt very blessed at that point, and we realized we have to keep, you know, we can never do enough. We have to keep going. But there was a lot of hugs shared at 3 a.m. that morning, like we may have just prevented one. And there's success story after success story that comes up. And a lot of them are in operation centers at 3 a.m.
It reminds me of the terrorist attacks that are stopped that we never know about as everyday citizens. There are all these potential fires that are getting stopped that nobody ever knows about except the people stopping them.
And I think coming into some of these major events, I like to think that there have been fires prevented from all the work. But I don't want to remotely convey that all this work is just being done by SDG&E. I mean, this is a community effort. This is the Red Cross, the Fire Safe Councils, the CERTs. I mean, of course, the fire agencies above anybody else and the work that they're doing. So it's a huge community collaboration that really came out of that experience you shared with O3. And then again in 07, that was the catalyst for some amazing work here in San Diego County.
Back then, the team came together, but it didn't know how to be a team. So it seems like now you've really matured how to work together on this issue.
And it's been a decade of devoted work and consistent collaboration and consistent commitment from leaders of all these different organizations that are starting to make that difference, you know? So certainly, and I know you saw this as well, I mean, this didn't happen overnight. And I also don't want to convey that the problem is solved. You know, I mean, we'll never get to this point that we're not, you know, devoted to evolving and improving, because we'll always be able to improve as well. But at the same time, big progress has been made over the last decade.
Yeah, back in the day, I directed some of the smart grid funding I had to technology specifically to help us do fire prevention and adaptation.
Yes. And you look at how these are used, I mean, still to this day. Now we're still evolving and enhancing some of these systems that were put in.
You mentioned the fire that you prevented. I'm just curious, was that with a bunch of other fires on May 10th of 2013?
No.
Okay.
This was actually an event that came in October of that year. There ended up being a Deleuze fire the following day on Camp Pendleton. Burned about 2,500 acres. Outside of Camp Pendleton, there was not a major fire in San Diego during that event.
I asked because my wife and I, in May, either in 2013 or 2014, we were in New York City, and our daughter, who is very mature and older, was on her own in our house, and a fire broke out. And so we were super panicked not being here and having her first time home alone be a fire event. Why is this personally important to you?
It brings a lot of purpose to the day-to-day job. I think some of us would call it a vocation, you know, where you come in every day and you feel like you have the ability to impact a community. So that's a huge part of why it's important. And I've always wondered and I've always known that meteorology was going to be my role. I always wanted to be a weatherman when I grew up. And I feel like this is a really good application of meteorology.
That's really interesting. I feel like I'm doing my part because I'm not good at weather. I have the gift of gab.
And you are doing a great job at that.
Thank you. So how do you explain to others how important your work is when so many people don't even believe that there is climate change?
I think regardless what's right in front of us is that we are seeing huge impacts on our communities, right? There's no denying, however we want to look at this, people in California have been catastrophically impacted by wildfire over the last year and a half, right? The last two fire seasons. So, and before, as we know. So I think what we really have to focus on is how do we end up ultimately sharing everything that we've learned statewide? How do we collaborate? How do we get the latest technology integrated into this problem? And how can we start to minimize the impact that this is having on some of our communities?
So you've already talked a bit about your role at SDG&E. Is there more you want to add?
You know, it's a very unique position that I've been in where I've never held a job here at SDG&E that existed before I took it, which is really kind of unique. I was the first meteorologist they ever had and the first meteorology manager and now the first director of fire science and climate. So we're really trying to innovate as we go.
Can you talk about your prior background, pre-SDG&E?
Yeah, well, I mentioned I wanted to be a weatherman ever since I was a little kid, and I was growing up in Boston, you know, watching those big East Coast snowstorms. And then I studied meteorology up in New Hampshire by Mount Washington, a school called Plymouth State University. And then after I graduated, I went back to Boston and worked in the private sector meteorology briefly. But then I always had a travel bug, so I went to Montana and lived with some high school friends, and they were firefighters, and I ended up getting a job on the local TV station in Montana. So I spent a few years there doing broadcast meteorology.
And then the next step was here?
Well, the next step. Then I got to my mid-20s at that point and wanted to reconnect with family. So went back to Boston, spent lots of time with my grandparents and my family and lots of time, about a year, until a girl walked into a bar and that ultimately I ended up following her to San Diego.
Oh, that's right. Really
interesting. And then that's what happened. Yeah.
Very nice. Very cool. How about challenges that have happened along the way, either at SDG&E or before?
One of the big challenges in meteorology is that ever since I was a little kid, I always envisioned myself being in the broadcasting side of it. At the same time, I loved the science aspect of it so much. When I got the broadcasting job, that's really what I wanted to do desperately when I grew up.
Yes,
you know, and I
yes.
always had this vision of myself making a career that way. So when I transitioned out of that, that was a really tough transition for me professionally, and it was a challenge, but it turned out that I was able to get integrated into this work at SDG&E, which ultimately has turned out to be
life-changing.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be in this role, so it ultimately worked out, but that transition was difficult.
Any other challenges that stand out?
Initially, you know, I've been lucky that I've always really known that I wanted to do meteorology. So that's always been something that's guided my professional career, which has been helpful, and it makes some of the decisions easier. So I'd say, you know, I've been pretty fortunate there, but building this weather network has been and this meteorology program has been a huge commitment for a lot of people. So when we just talk general challenges, we've innovating and operating in an innovative space now for a decade and trying to kind of build the next tool and push the fire science forward. It's just challenging in the nature of what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, but that's the best kind of challenge. A challenge where you have a team, where you have backing, where you're creating new things every day, where you're making a difference in society. That's the kind of challenge people want to have.
And it is. So that's why I struggled coming up with it, because the second we start complaining about these challenges, then we're a little off base, you know, because they, just like you said, they're the type of challenges that you want.
You talked about when you first realized you were definitely making a difference back in 2013, when there was a fire that never was. What are other great successes that you've had?
Right now, when we start to see our work that started here in San Diego begin to expand. And I think of back in 2018, when some of the city managers and folks were coming down from Santa Rosa after they had really been devastated by the Tubbs fire up in that part of California. And they were coming down and really seeing that there was a solution and that San Diego as a community had started to take steps after they had been devastated by the large fires in 03 and 07, and seeing the hope that it brought to them that there is a way out of this, and there are things that can be done. It was really gratifying, one, to be able to help folks see that there is stuff that can be done. And this is not just, there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
And what is your vision for the future? Where do you see this going?
It's still about innovation. right? And one, there's been this collaboration that we've talked about in San Diego, where there have been amazing tools built. But again, that's just the beginning, because the fire agencies have been so committed and all the stakeholders have been so committed for 10 years. But now watching what's happening in San Diego start to expand across the state, I think that's what becomes really exciting, because our collaborations have been local, but now we start working more with some of the other utilities in California. We interface now a lot with folks from Sacramento and San Francisco on this issue.
We reconnected at a meeting up there, Wildfire Technology Summit.
Exactly. So we start getting to the point where it's everything is really beginning to expand. And I think as we look at, this is going to create a lot of opportunities as there's so much more interest and so much more talent that's collaborating. It used to be a lot of folks in San Diego and Southern California coming together. And now it's people from all over California and the world coming together. And it's really exciting to see what technology and what advancements are going to come out over the next several years.
So in 20 years, when you look out, what do you think things are going to look like?
From a meteorological standpoint, it's hard, because I could say, what does the infrastructure look like? What does the fire environment look like? I think we have a fire environment that's worse than it is today, which is hard to believe. But all of the climate science is, of course, telling us that, you know, this gets worse. It does not get better. So I think in advancement of that, I see a world where there's more collaboration in the state of California. And some of these barriers where, you know, the utilities making investments to protect infrastructure, and that ends up ultimately not just staying within the utilities, that ends up being provided across the community, where there's a lot of, I'm hoping, optimistically thinking, we're going to have a lot more collaboration in the future, because I think we've seen that in San Diego, and I think we can see that statewide.
So I'm going to summarize, but you have to correct me if I'm wrong. In 2003, when that first big fire in quite a while happened, it was so devastating, we were a little bit ready. But the threat is significantly growing, and you're a key player in the state, maybe the world, of growing equal to the threat, so that we can continue living like we expect to, in spite of the fact that the fires are out there all the time.
I would agree. I would agree with
some of that. I'm trying not to overstate it.
I know. But a lot of what we have is that I think right now SDG&E has, and the community of San Diego, I don't want this just to be an SDG&E thing, the community of San Diego has done so much because of the mega fires in 2003 and 2007. And there's been so much work done in this community that I think now you're correct in saying the rest of the state and the rest of the world are looking to San Diego, California, as how can we be more prepared all across the globe. And I mean, there's interest coming from Spain, from Greece, from Australia. And it's not SDG&E they're looking at, of course. It's the San Diego region.
Okay, so is it okay if I wrap this up with a wrap?
Yes, I can't wait to hear this.
Okay. You were with your family in Boston because you like being together. You wanted to be a man who broadcasted the weather. Then a woman, she walked into a Boston bar and she convinced you to move very, very far. You're trying to help California. You're trying to help the nation. You were the first with the title Climate Adaptation. There was a fire that almost started in 2013, but your team leveraged what it did, and the devastation was never seen. I'm definitely going to edit out the section where you had to go, because you got a call from the COO. It's very gratifying that what you're doing is spreading to your sisters and brothers at other utilities so you can help many others. It's exciting about your focus on complete unity, ensuring that everybody works together in the entire community.
Super impressive. I think that summed it up really well. Good job.
In the middle of our discussion, Brian received a call from his COO, Caroline Wynn. We took a pause for a few minutes for Brian to go and meet with her, and I had to edit around that part of the interview, but when it came time to do the wrap, I couldn't help myself but mention it. Brian is familiar with my podcast and knew that a wrap was coming, but I still caught him off guard where I went with it and got him laughing. That's improvisation. So if you're in San Diego and want some great laughs, most weekends I'm doing improv comedy at either the Old Town Improv Company or Finest City Improv or both. To confirm specific dates or if you have comments or questions about the podcast, visit my website at www.crevatenergyinnovations.com and drop me an email. I would love to hear from you. And if you're enjoying the Climate Champions podcast series, please subscribe, rate it 5 stars, and tell your climate-concerned friends about it. In 2013, Brian's team at SDG&E saw the high risk of a fire event and staged a contracted crew at a high-risk location. Armed with 500 gallons of water, they noticed flames, called in the appropriate agencies, and were able to suppress the fire. Given the Santa Ana conditions, it could have been disastrous to the surrounding communities. Forecasting conditions, pre-planning for potential situations, and taking action before incidents take place are all critical to mitigate the effects of climate change.